The subject I've been asked to preach on tonight is challenging our worldview. It's in three parts. You're only given the first part tonight. It's a heart for justice. When we give our lives to Jesus and decide to follow him, it's important that we do just that. Jesus says, follow me. For many folk, that means we can experience a good life, a happy life. Our sins have been forgiven. We have Jesus as our friend. When we meet together to worship, we can feel comfortable. We can feel very much at home. A nice, warm feeling. We're safe. We are worshipping and following Jesus, but the question is, are we following Jesus? Are we following Jesus? Yes, we are to one extent. We've given our lives to him. We've come together to worship together tonight, to hear God's word, and to seek the filling of his Holy Spirit that we may live a godly life. And Jesus told us to share the good news, to share it throughout the world. And that's a major part, I believe, of the calling to which we are called. The question is, are we sharing the good news? Or are we just enjoying it for ourselves? Jesus was and is an evangelist. But he is, of course, so much more. He's our God. He's our Saviour. He's our Lord. He's our King. He's also a prophet. And prophecy is the question we're going to be looking at tonight. Are we as a church here following our calling to be a prophetic people? What does that mean? Flows off the tongue quite easily, being a prophetic people. What does it mean? What do you think? What does it mean to each one of us individually? Let's see what God says to us in his word. A few words from Amos 5. The Lord says this, hear this word, seek me and live. In verse 6, again Amos, seek the Lord and live. You who turn justice into bitterness and cast righteousness to the ground, you trample on the poor and force him to give you grain. I know how many are your offences are. I know how great your sins are. You oppress the righteous, you take bribes, you deprive the poor of the justice in the courts. Seek good and not evil that you may live. Then the Lord God Almighty will be with you, just as you say he is. Hate evil, love good. Maintain justice in the courts. Quite hard words, aren't they, from the prophet Amos? Doesn't seem to go around beating around the bush. He goes straight to the point. You may think that when I'm looking at this question of justice and compassion, I'm pulling out just one or two verses from Scripture. But I ensure that God's word is consistent throughout. The same message you'll find in the book of Psalms, book of Isaiah, and the prophet Daniel, Zechariah, Malachi, Jeremiah, I could go on. I give you an idea, though, that his word stays consistent throughout the whole of Scripture. This word of prophecy, again, is not just about justice for ourselves. It is about justice for others. Jesus wasn't concerned about justice for himself, but he was concerned about achieving justice for all people. Why? To demonstrate the richness of God's mercy. We as Christians have received God's mercy, haven't we? We've received forgiveness of our sins. We've been given the Holy Spirit. We've received something of the richness of God's mercy. Jesus, though, came also to bring justice to the poor in spirit. Justice, yes, and compassion. Compassion for those who are suffering. The Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, Jesus said this, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Think about that. For the poor in spirit, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. In Exodus and Leviticus, God ordered that the board of the harvest and the grapevines be left for the poor so they could come and get some food, even though they can't afford it, for the alien in that country to come and to pick up and to keep himself alive. In Deuteronomy 10, we read that God defends the cause of the fatherless and the widow, and loves the alien, giving him food and clothing. There's a lot of stuff in these verses, isn't there? A lot of challenges, I think, for us in our daily lives. Zechariah 7, God the Almighty says, administer true justice, show mercy and show compassion to one another. Don't oppress the widow, the fatherless, the alien or the poor. Deuteronomy 10, we see God saying this, administer justice to the fatherless and the widow. Love the stranger, giving him food and clothing. Love the stranger, for once you are strangers. It's a very real challenge, this, isn't it? Love the stranger, give him food and clothing. Exodus 23, you shall not pervert the judgment of your poor. And Paul again reminds us in Galatians 2, as well as preaching the gospel, we should continue to remember the poor. It comes time and time and time again throughout the whole of Scripture, this concern for the poverty, people who are in poverty, people who are suffering, those without family. It's interesting too that Peter, James and John asked this of Paul, Barnabas and Titus. What he said was this. He didn't say tighten up on your theology. He says rather remember the poor, which Paul says was the very thing that he was concerned about and eager to do. And in Acts 6:1 we see that the widows were all being cared for by the Christians. In Amos 5 the prophet speaks about the lack of justice, the poor getting trampled upon and being forced into cheap labour. He points out there's bribery and corruption everywhere, that the poor are badly treated in the courts. They don't get justice. We see the same message in Isaiah 58. The prophet condemned the people in their religious behaviour. He said they quarrel, they fight, they exploit the poor. God says, loose the chains of injustice. Set the oppressed free. Break the yokes from people's necks. Share food with the hungry. Provide the poor wanderer with shelter. There's so much of this, I think, that's actually relevant to us today in our daily lives and how we live and our thoughts and how our minds work. It begs the question, are we aware of the oppression and injustice in the world today? Are we bothered about social injustice? Do we care? Do we clothe ourselves at the expense of slavery? Do we chase down the best bargains we can find for ourselves at the expense of farmers and underpaid factory workers, here and overseas? The world view. What is the world view? Look after number one, put Jack first, the rest can look after themselves. That's the world view that I see it at the moment. In the advertising world in which we live, we're told that we deserve and must have everything at the cheapest possible price. It doesn't matter if it's at the expense of others. That is not God's way. Luke 10:7, the labourer is worthy of his hire. Well, the message puts it, the worker is not cheap labour. He deserves 3 square meals. I think if I'd written the message, I might have put every day after those 3 square meals, but that's what it says in the Bible there. I think the refugee situation challenges us and our thoughts and our behaviour today about the needs of others. Do we care? Are we bothered? Are we prepared to make sacrifices? How do we respond to that? I think it's good that Mark and some others are visiting Calais shortly to help and encourage those who are on the run, seeking a better life. And in doing that, that is showing real Christian compassion. It's actually doing something about a situation where people are suffering, where they do need help, they do need love, they do need care. Matthew 9:36 says this, when Jesus saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them because they were like sheep having no shepherd. Now, as you look at the scenes on television and newscasts and everywhere else, you see dozens and dozens of people wandering about looking for one way of escape. And I think that verse from Matthew 9 just sums it up. They're like sheep having no shepherd. There's no one actually looking after them. They're struggling to survive. They're fighting for survival. And this word translated from the Greek is compassion. Do you know what it means? It means this, having an aching gut, having real fire in your belly, not being content at what you're seeing, being moved to do something about the situation. And compassion is something we as Christians are called to show. I'm not sitting as judge. I'm challenged by these words, and I pray you are as well. I believe God is really speaking to us about being a prophetic people. Do we care? Are we bothered? Is it going to upset our daily lives? Do you have that compassion in your guts? Well, something's got to happen. It cannot go on like this. The prophets challenged the ideas of living a life of luxury at the expense of others. God's perfect justice in the kingdom of God looks very different, I believe, to what we're seeing here. And I don't think we should feel guilty about our birth or our circumstances or where we live or who we are. But at the same time, we cannot and should not ignore the injustices that we see in the rest of the world. We cannot say, well, I'm not going to feel compassionate. I'm not going to have anything to do with that. Let them look after themselves. It's not what God, I believe, is calling us to do. He's not calling his people to act like that. We're called to be a prophetic people. We're called to be sons and daughters of the King, to be followers of Jesus. And being a follower of Jesus does not mean that we turn a blind eye to things we don't like or can't cope with or which annoy us. God calls us to be men and women of God, challenged by the Word of God. There must be tension in us too between the things that are and the frustration and longing for the kingdom of Christ. In the Lord's Prayer, we don't pray it every Sunday, I know, but we pray, "Your will be done, your kingdom come." Are we going to be prepared to be part of that, that God's will be done? We are his hands, his feet, his tongues, his bodies. God calls us to be a prophetic people. I find that a real challenge. It challenges me, I know, I don't know about you. But I think, you know, we need to be praying for these people who are suffering. These people are like sheep without a shepherd. What's going to happen to them? Good question, isn't it? We need to be praying for the victims of injustice and asking ourselves, what can we do? How can I help? Do I just want to shut the front door and forget all about it? Do I care? We see that throughout the whole of Scripture, these issues are on God's heart. The poor, the hungry, the unclothed, those who are lost, those who are trampling around the world, the oppressed, the aliens. These things are in God's heart. They're central to the whole of Scripture. Read it from Genesis 3 to Revelation. It comes time and time and time again. You can't ignore it. And if they're on God's heart, surely they should be on our hearts. That's how God sees things. Should be walking in his way, doing his will, following his direction, his guidance. When we consider the immigration and refugee situation in Europe today, what do you see as the issues that challenge us? What's your response to this that's going on? Where do we stand as men and women of God? All of us, we're Christians. What are we doing? Look again at the calling that was given to Jesus in Isaiah 61. It said this. You really need to take these words to heart because I think it's such a powerful part of how we should be living as Christian men and women. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. Good news to the poor. And that's just not empty words. I believe that's actually meeting the needs of the poor. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. Look at the faces of some of those people you see on television. Their hearts are broken. Their homes are destroyed. Their families are split up. Jesus said he sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives. And they are captive in a situation about which they can do nothing. Release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour and the day of judgment of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion. Are we close to comforting those who are mourning at this time? Are we providing for those who grieve? To bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. This is part of being a Christian, isn't it? If we're following Jesus, preaching good news to the poor, binding up the brokenhearted, praying freedom for those who are captive, release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. I believe we do not have to be on the run. We have to be proactive in this. We need to be those who go out and proclaim the Lord's word, proclaim God's mind for people. Jesus in Luke 4 quotes it slightly differently, but it says the same thing. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he's anointed me to preach good news to the poor, sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And surely these are the messages that we should be taking out into the world. These are things which should be stirring in our hearts, in our minds, in our lives. It's so easy to sit back in front of the television and just feel complacent. Well, it's nothing to do with me. That's an easy option, but it's not. I don't believe that's God's option. In fact, I'm sure it's not. It's not God's option. These things should be part of our daily lives. We should be taking good news out. We should be praying for freedom for those who are captive in different situations. In their homes, some people are captive in their homes, in society, in the country. Captive to poverty, from oppression. Fantastic message, isn't it? But isn't it a challenge? To me, I find it very challenging. Are we advocates for the poor? Do we care about them? Or do we say, "I'm all right, Jack, put up a ladder, let them look after themselves. Do we challenge our leaders? Do we hold them to account for the cause of the vulnerable and for those people who have no voice? This is God's heart, I believe. And prayer changes our hearts. So how are we going to pray on from here? Because I think, again, God's challenged me. I don't know about you, he's challenging me. How am I going to pray more into this situation? When I see these things on television, am I going to say, oh, let's just turn over and watch something else? It's so easy to run away from things that we don't like to look at, isn't it? So easy to feel helpless. Well, I can't do anything about it. I'm not going to do anything. Prayer changes our hearts, I believe, where these issues are concerned. And prayer needs to be at the centre of our walk together as Christian men and women. When we look through the refugees situation, what goes through our minds? Are we worried about self-comfort? Are we thinking, well, I don't want to spoil my sort of life, I'm settled. In heaven, as Christians, we shall all be one, all in the same boat. You remember when it's put to Jesus, who's going to sit on your right hand? Who's going to sit on your left? As Christians in heaven, we shall all be equal. We'll be part of the body of Christ in heaven, all worshipping together. I expect that you've heard me say before, but one of the chaps I work with is a multimillionaire. He didn't want to know about Jesus. Don't need Jesus. He said, with all my money, God's not going to kick me out of heaven, is he? He's going to let me in first. He wasn't joking. That was his world view. It's a challenging one, isn't it, for our world view? So tonight, do we have a holy discontent about what we see? Do we have a frustration about the current world situation? We can be horrified, yes. Are we praying about it? Maybe, maybe not. I think we're in a place of real challenge here now. The world is in such a mess. I believe it is, anyway. Whether you go to America or Germany or France, wherever you go, Syria. How much good do you see? I see very little. I see death. Lots of weaponry, lots of guns, lots of shooting, lots of killing. I think it's in Genesis chapter 8, we read the verse, "Could God look down from heaven on the world? He was sorry he had made man because evil was in his heart all the time." Now, I think not much has changed, has it? I know Jesus came in the world and we're saved, but throughout the world, from a worldly view, not much has changed. We need to pray more, pray actively, and be, I think, very clear in what it is we're praying for. Are we prepared to speak out for those who are suffering, those who are in desperate need? Or are we going to be part of the silent majority? If we are to be a prophetic, compassionate people, we need to be those who challenge injustice, those who challenge poverty, those who challenge the lost, those who challenge these folk who are wandering around the world like lost sheep. We need to be those who are actually there challenging these things. We need to challenge the apathy in our country, the hardness of heart that is so visible through everything we see. And for today, I think it's a very real challenge. This challenge is not going to melt away, not as I see it anyway, unless the Lord comes today. Is our worldview being challenged? I pray that it is. Are our thoughts, our minds, how we view things, how we see situations, our comments as we watch things happening on television? God calls us to be prophetic people, but also people of prayer, not just one-liners. I think God really wants us to get down on our knees and bring these situations to him. Because mankind on his own, I don't think it's going to solve the situation. I think only God can do that. Is our worldview being challenged? I pray that it is. Let's pray as we sit. Heavenly Father, we pray for your help. We pray for the infilling of your Holy Spirit. We pray that you will direct our minds and our hearts, our lives, as we seek to serve you, Lord. We pray for forgiveness when we haven't bothered to pray. We haven't bothered to do anything. We just sat down and done nothing. Lord, forgive us for our apathy. Forgive us for hardness of hearts. Lord, we pray tonight that you're going to fill us afresh with your Holy Spirit. As we read God's word, we pray that his word may impact on our minds, our hearts, and our lives as we seek to follow Jesus. And Lord, we don't think it's all doom and gloom because we believe that all things with you are possible. Your word tells us that. Nothing is impossible for God. So Lord, help us as a fellowship here to pray together, to speak out about the things that we know and see as wrong. Give us courage, Lord, to stand as men and women who walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Francis.